for those of you who are ambitious, I want you to also go to the New Testament, and I want you to find Matthew 24. Matthew 24. That's page 1021 in the Pew Bible. So if you're using the Pew Bible, that's page 1021. And that's going to take you to Matthew 24. You can put a bookmarker or something in Matthew 24. We'll be going there in just a moment. Can you make sure everything's muted but me? Is it? Okay. It's just kind of ringing up here. 2 Samuel 19 and Matthew 24. All right, just so I know that you're kind of with me here, how many of you found that? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen means I'm with you. Never be afraid to say amen in church, because that just means, hey, I agree, I'm with you all the way, okay? So 2 Samuel 19, what's the context of this chapter? Well, you remember last week that King David, his armies were fighting against the armies of his own son, Absalom. David's own son, King David, who was the king over God's people, his son Absalom was rotten to the core, and his son Absalom rose up in rebellion. He wanted the throne of his father. He was successful in winning over the hearts of many in Israel. He got a lot of folks on his side. And the rebellion was so strong, David had to flee Jerusalem. He had to leave the palace. He had to go out into the wilderness where Absalom was trying to kill him and take his life. So all of a sudden, this civil war breaks out in the wilderness. And you got David's men fighting against Absalom's men. You remember last week that David's main concern was, is the young man Absalom safe? Is he okay? When David's men won the battle, all David wanted to know was, is my son okay? Is he safe? No, he wasn't. He got killed in the battle. So the rebellion has now been quenched. King David, who was forced out into the wilderness, into exile, it's now time in this chapter for the king to return to the throne of his kingdom. Look with me at verse number 15, 2 Samuel 19:15. It says, so the king returned. I want you to notice that phrase. Say that with me. So the king returned. The king returned. And came to Jordan, the Jordan River, and Judah, that is the tribe of Judah, a group of people, came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. Hey, look up here. The king returned. In many ways in your Bible, King David is an Old Testament picture. That's the blank in your handout. David is a picture of the ultimate king, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. If you look up at the screen, I want you to notice this is a verse that has to do with Christ coming back to the earth, his second coming. And it says in Revelation 19:16 that Christ hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. So when he comes back, when the king returns, he's got a name written on him. And I want you all to say that name with me. Ready? King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want you to think with me about how David, King David, is a picture of the King, Jesus Christ. Think about this with me. Due to earthly rebellion, the true king, the God-ordained king, David, is forced out into temporary exile. But ultimately, as we see in chapter 19 here, he returns to his throne in triumph. The true king, exiled, but returning in triumph. What's he a picture of? Jesus Christ came to this earth. He said, I'm the king. I am the Messiah. He came unto his own, Israel, but his own received him not. He was rejected. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, rejected by the Gentiles, rejected by the Jews. He goes away into temporary exile into the heavens. But one day will return to the earth in triumph. What a picture David is in your Bible in many ways of Jesus Christ. Just like David, it says in your handout, Christ will return to Jerusalem. Just as it says, the king returned, speaking of David. One day Christ will return to Jerusalem. He'll sit on the throne of His glory and He will dwell in the fullness of His glory and kingdom. This is where I want you to keep your bookmarker in 2 Samuel because we're going to go back. But go to Matthew 24. That's page 1021 in your pew Bible. Matthew 24. And I want us to read here about the return of Jesus Christ. This is Jesus Himself talking, and Jesus is not a liar. Jesus was the truth, the way, the life. Notice what He says in Matthew 24, 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the, what's the next word? Coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light and the stars shall fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn and they shall, what's that next word? See. The Son of Man, and what's that next word? Coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Turn with me to chapter 25 of Matthew. Go forward to chapter 25, 31. Chapter 25, verse 31. It says here, when the Son of Man shall, and what's that next word? Come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him. Then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. My friend, look in your handout at Revelation 1:7. It's in your handout. Notice the verse, Revelation 1:7. Behold, He, that's Christ, He cometh with clouds. And I want you to underline this. Every eye shall see Him. You ought to underline that. Every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. One day Jesus Christ is going to return literally, physically, visibly. Every eye will see Him return. And He's going to return to this literal earth. He will sit upon a literal throne and gather literal nations before Him to be judged. We call this event, in fact, I want you to do this. When you came in this morning, you should have received a chart. Now, one of the things I would recommend is that you take that chart and any charts that you get, and you know what I've seen people do at our church? They actually glue them or they'll tape them to the inside of their Bible, the front of their Bible or the back. That way it's always there as a reference for you. I gave you a general timeline. If you would, bring that up on the screen. On this timeline right here, you'll notice that what we just read about, you notice that the line here goes up. Jesus Christ resurrected. The king was exiled into heaven. But the Bible says one day He will come back. And when He returns, every eye shall... It's a public appearance. Everyone will see him. It's a public appearance. In fact, just to kind of whet your appetite for Bible study, there's actually a route he'll take on his return back to the earth, and it's about a three-day tour. He is going to come back over a period of 3 days at his revelation. We call it the revelation. Hey, by the way, we call it the revelation because what word is within the word revelation, you think? Reveal. He's going to reveal himself. Every eye shall see him. Every eye will behold him. All the tribes of the earth shall mourn. So he comes back, makes a public appearance, comes back at the revelation, and notice the lion comes down here to the earth. He's going to return to Jerusalem. He's going to sit on the throne of his glory, as we just read Matthew 25, and gather before him the nations. Now, at least, it's going to be at least 7 years prior to that, maybe more. But in your handout there, I want you to get a statement. At least 7 years before that glorious and public return to earth, Christ will make a, get this word, he's going to make a secret return, not to earth, but in the heavens. Now, can anybody, if we go back to the basic timeline on the screen here, can anybody tell me, because there's an event that's going to occur on God's timeline before this great event we just read about where the king returns back to the earth after having been in exile, can anybody tell me what's the event where Christ is going to make a secret return, not to earth, but he's only going to come as far as the heavens? What event is that? We call it the rapture. Say, why do we call it that? Because the word rapture means to be caught away. It means to catch up. And the Bible says that when this parentheses time period ends that we're living in right now, this time of grace, when this time of grace, this grace period ends that we're living in right now, the Bible says that we are going to be caught up. Those of us who know the Lord will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So he doesn't come all the way down here. Rather, we're caught up to meet him in the air. The Bible says the Lord shall descend from heaven with a voice, with the ark of the with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, raptured, to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're caught up to meet him up in the heavens. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You say, because I know some of you earlier when I was talking about how his second coming to earth is a three-day journey and everyone's going to see him. I know some of you immediately were thinking, wait a minute, but I've always been taught that it's going to happen quickly. It's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. Aha! Herein lies the problem with many people is that they failed to rightly divide the Word of God and distinguish between this event and this event. You're going to hear preachers all the time on the radio, on TV, they confuse these two events right here. They'll read scripture about this and misapply it to this. Or they'll read scripture about this and misapply it to this. This is where you got to study. You got to rightly divide the Word of God. You see, this event right here is a secret coming. It's going to happen so quickly, the Bible says it's quicker than a blink of your eye. It happens in the twinkling of an eye. Nobody on the earth, that the people that don't go up at the rapture, they're not going to see that happen. I don't know what your vision is or how you have visualized the rapture when Christ comes back. But listen, as you go up, it's not going to be a thing where you're going, bye, everybody. Bye. I'm going to be with the Lord. I told you this was going to happen. And maybe you think it's like the Wizard of Oz floating away in his balloon, you know, and everybody's watching. And that's not the way it's going to be. It's going to happen so fast, people will never see it occur. They're not going to see Christ in the heavens as he meets us in the air. They're not going to see you be caught up. It's going to happen. Boom! Done. It's a secret coming. A mystery coming. And it's going to happen so quickly that there's not going to be any time for anything. It's just boom. Now this event here is over a 3-day period, and every eye will see him. Everyone's going to see Christ as he comes back down here to the earth. In fact, the very first thing that happens up here is the Bible says the heavens opened. And when the heaven opens up, whoo, can you imagine that? The heavens open. Whew. The heavens open, and boom, the Bible says there he is. There is Christ and his armies coming back. And everyone sees it. It's a public appearance. Whereas this coming is a secret catching away of believers that are living in this time period right here. Don't confuse those two events. Let me give you a couple statements I think that'll help you in your handout to understand the difference here. In your handout, it says, at the rapture, he, Christ, is returning as the head of his body, the church. At the rapture, he's returning as the head of his body, the church. But then look at the next statement. At the revelation, that's that line that came all the way down to the earth, he is returning as king over all the earth. And that's what we read about a moment ago in the book of Matthew. If we go back to the basic timeline, go back to that one. Now you look up here. In this time period that we're living in right now, okay, we call it the time of grace, the church age. The reason why we call it the mystery is, let me explain real quick, and I want you to stay with me now and think. There are two programs that are running in your Bible. One of those programs is what we call the prophetic program. That has to do with what Christ is going to ultimately do on this earth one day. That's the prophetic program. It's been prophesied since the world began, what he's going to do on the earth and what he's going to accomplish through the nation of Israel on the earth one day. Now, there's another program in your Bible that's a mystery program. It's not prophesied. It's a mystery. See the difference? If it's a prophetic program, it means it's been prophesied. It's been talked about. There's a mystery program that was never revealed. It was never talked about. It was hidden in God from the foundation of the world. And that's the parentheses that we're living in right now. It's called the dispensation of grace. It's a time of unprecedented grace where God is offering his grace to all of his enemies, all sinners in the world, through the finished and completed work of his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And so we are living in a time of a grace period where we deserve the wrath of God, but instead the earth is receiving a grace period. And any individual in the world can be saved today. They can experience the grace of God and the forgiveness of all their sins by simply trusting in what Jesus Christ did for them on the cross in dying for their sins, rising up again the third day. So right now, the king is in exile up here in heaven. But while he's up here in exile, he is calling out a group of people in this time period we're living in called the church, the body of Christ. The way you get into the body of Christ is not through religion. The way you get into the body of Christ is not by keeping the Ten Commandments or the Golden Rule. The way you get into this group right here that's going up here is not by joining Crossroads. It's not by being dunked in water. It's not by keeping a set of religious rules and rituals. It's not by joining a certain denomination. The way that you get into the body of Christ today, the way you get into the body of which Christ is the head, we're his body. The thing that places you in the body of Christ is not church membership, baptism, religious rituals, or any of that. The way you get placed into the body of Christ is by you placing your faith and trust in what Jesus did for you on the cross. Period. You don't have to go through me. You don't have to go through this church. You don't have to go through the church down the road. You don't have to go through a religious system. You don't have to go through a list of things to do. You simply let your heart rest in what Christ did for you. And the moment your heart trusts Jesus and him alone, God's Holy Spirit takes you and puts you in the body of Christ. And now you're part of this group that he's forming in here, of which he's the head, we're his body. And you see, at the rapture, he's coming as the head to call up his body that he's been forming here for 2,000 years. He's calling up that body to meet him in the air. Those who are dead in Christ, in this parentheses, those who are alive when this happens. All of us are caught up together to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Now, here's the deal, and here's what I want to emphasize. At this event, he's coming back down to the earth as king. Now look at here. He's coming in the heavens here to catch us up. He's coming as the head of the body that he's been forming here. Now here the prophetic program resumes. He comes back down to the earth where he's going to reign as king over all the earth. And that prophetic program will find its fulfillment here. The mystery program that we're living in today that was unprophesied, it'll be right there. So that's where it'll end. But this one is going to reach its culmination here. This in here reaches its culmination here. Now, let me go to another chart. You don't have this chart, but I'm going to bring it up. Can you go to the next one? If you look at this chart, notice it's not to scale as far as chronologically to scale. What I mean by that is, you know, this dispensation of grace that we're living in right now, this has been going on for 2,000 years. And then we're caught up here, and then you got 7 years here. So you see, we're emphasizing something different here. So this is actually 2,000 years, this is seven. But you notice the church, that's us, those of us who are saved, those of us who are part of the church, the body of Christ, we're delivered from this present evil world here at the rapture, where we're caught up. Whereas when he comes back here at the revelation, his second coming to the earth, that's where he establishes his kingdom, and the nation of Israel will be delivered, who he begins working with again here in this 7-year period. The prophetic program resumes. Just as King David returned, King Jesus is returning. The question is, are you ready for his return? Are you prepared? Now here's the sobering reality. Is that if you go back real quickly, I'll tell you what, go to the next chart. If you look at this chart, this event right here called the rapture, where it's the next event when all believers in this time period are caught up, there are no signs for the rapture. There's nothing to warn you that it's going to come tomorrow or that it's going to come next week. There's no signs. It's imminent. That means it can happen at any moment. Only general characteristics of the world are given, which could have been true of, you know, generations. But there are no definite signposts that tell you, oh, Christ is coming next year. Oh, he's coming next week. Oh, he's coming tomorrow. There's no definite signs for this event. But there are signs for this event. Matthew 24, he lists a whole bunch of them. And he says, now when you see all these events I've just told you about happen, and he gives them definite events, not just characteristics of the age, definite events. When you see those events happen, then you know the end is near. The people that are living in this time period after we're called out, if they know their Bible and study it, they'll be able to pinpoint pretty closely when this event's going to occur. And there will be people, according to Joel chapter 2, who literally will be saved at the very last moment. They're going to actually see him coming at his second coming. Remember, it's going to happen over a 3-day period wherein he returns. And over that period, there are people who will call on the name of the Lord and will be saved at the very last time, right before he comes back to the earth. Not so for this event. There will be no time for you to change your mind, to change your thinking, to repent, to turn to Christ. There'll be no time for you to do that when this event happens. It'll happen in the twinkling of an eye. Family members you have that are saved, friends that you have that are saved, will be gone in the twinkling of an eye. It will happen so quickly, there won't be any time for you to pack your bag, so to speak. Okay? And say, I was wrong, I changed my mind. There won't be any time for that. You will be left behind to go through the tribulation period that's going to happen on this earth. An unprecedented time of wrath. The time for you to make a decision for Christ is right now. Right now. While the grace period's still going. Because once the grace period's over and the rapture occurs, you're left behind at that point. Let me repeat. This event, right here, the rapture, there are no signs for that. It could happen at any moment. This event, there are signs, but not this one. It's like if me and Denise go out of town and we tell my 21, 14, and 12-year-old sons, we're going out of town, but we shall return. And they say, well, when are you coming back? We say to them, well, we're not sure. It may be tonight. It may be tomorrow. It may be in 2 days, it may be in 3 days. But boys, we will return and you better be prepared. You better be ready. That means the sink better be cleaned out. That means that the vacuum, you better have the floors vacuumed. That means your floor better be picked up in your bedroom and you better be prepared. You better be ready. You better have your lamps trimmed and burning, amen? Because mama's coming home. And you don't know when. So you better just stay in a state of preparedness. Now, compare that with, hey, we're going out of town. Oh, really? When are you coming back? Well, we're coming back Thursday. And we're going to come back Thursday, and we're going to call you from Orlando, so you know we're an hour away. Then we're going to call you from the DeLand exit to let you know we're about 30 minutes away. Then we're going to call you as we're passing the church, so then you'll know we're 5 minutes away. Now, there are signs to our coming. There's definite signs. Now, they can procrastinate cleaning the house until the last minute if they want to. But there's definite signs that are going to tell them when we will appear. I give that illustration as a humorous way to point out to you that the first illustration, that the boys don't know when we're coming back, that's like this event here, the rapture. But the second one, the revelation, that's like us saying we're going to call you from Orlando, we're going to call you from DeLand, we're going to call you from the church. Then now there's signs for this event, not for this one. This is why you see some wacky things happen out there in the name of Christ. For example, it's just a failure to rightly divide. Don't ever believe it when some preacher gets on the radio or TV and tells you he knows when the Lord's coming back at the rapture. Don't believe that. Don't buy into that. I don't know, some of you may have read this year about a guy named Harold Camping. He's the president of Family Radio. And he declared that on May 21st of 2011, this year, Jesus Christ would return to earth. It would be followed by 5 months of fire, brimstone, and plagues on the earth, with millions of people dying each day. He said it'll culminate on October 21st, 2011, with the end of the world. That was Friday. I'm still here. How about you? Last time I looked, I'm here. You say, well, what's that goofball thinking? You know what? He's quoting Bible verses for that. What? Yeah. He's saying, oh, yeah, you know, this verse and that verse, and I'm going to take Bible numerology now and play this out, and this is, and well, I got the date. Well, it's a free country. He can say whatever he wants to say. But the bottom line is, He failed to rightly divide the Bible, didn't he? You see, he didn't rightly divide between this event and this event, did he? And this kind of foolishness goes on all the time. You need to know how to study your Bible. How do you study it? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If I don't rightly divide, guess what happens? I get the wrong answers. That's true in math, right? Amen? If you don't rightly divide, you get the wrong answers. It's the same way with the Bible. You don't rightly divide, you get the wrong answers. This guy says, well, May 21st, Lord's coming back, October 21st, end of the world. No, you didn't rightly divide the Bible. You're never going to hear me setting dates. You're never going to hear me saying, oh, there was a tsunami someplace, and oh, that's a sign, Christ is fixing to come back. No, not necessarily. There are no signs for this event. There's been earthquakes and tsunamis and all these things going on for the last 2,000 years. So when you hear someone take a world event, like a tsunami or an earthquake or a hurricane or whatever it may be, and then try to scare you and say, oh, the Lord's coming back, you know, right away because this is a sign. No. There are no signs for this event. There are no signs. So you know what that tells me? You need to be ready today. Because, yeah, you know what? This event could happen today. And I don't base that on a world event. I don't base that on what some kook said on the radio. I say that this event could happen today because it's imminent. It could happen at any moment. You say, well, it may not happen for 10 more years. Well, if you want to roll the dice, that's your business. People say, well, but you know, people have been saying that for years and it's never happened. Did you know that that's what the world said about Christ? They said, oh, the world's been saying for years that the Messiah is going to come and be born in Bethlehem. And that the Messiah is going to come and this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And he's going to die on the cross and he's going to rise again. And the world says, oh, that's not going to happen. We've been waiting for years and years and centuries and centuries. But you know what? When the fullness of the time was come, Christ was born in Bethlehem. Just like the Bible said. Let God be true and every man a liar. I'm telling you right now, you can think because it hasn't happened that this event isn't going to happen, but I'm telling you, on the authority of God's Word, it is going to happen. And you need to get your heart ready now. You need to be prepared now so that you don't get caught off guard when that event happens. Are you prepared to meet the King? Are you prepared? Are you ready? Now, what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to stop there and we're going to continue next week. But I think that's enough information. So I'm going to stop there and I want you to bow your head with me and close your eyes. And I just want to stop there. We'll get into next week, 2 Samuel 19 and how we can prepare ourselves. But for right now, with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, Jesus Christ gave himself on the cross for your sins. He died for you. Today, he wants you to put your faith and trust in him. And with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, if you're here today, now listen closely, I want to ask every person this question. Nobody's looking, let's just stay in an attitude of prayer. But I want to ask every person this question, and only you can answer it. If Christ were to come today and catch away his children, do you know that you would be with Christ? Are you 100% sure that if Christ came today that you would be with him? If you're 100% sure, would you lift your hand as a testimony just right now? Lift it up, put it right back down. And I wonder how many are here that would say, Pastor Dan, I'm not 100% sure that if Christ came today that I would be with him. I'm not 100% sure. I want to know I'm ready. But you know what, Pastor? I'm not 100% sure I'm ready. And I want to know that if Christ comes, I'm ready. I want to know I'm prepared. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand up right now if that's you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? I'm just not sure I'm prepared. You can put it right back down. Anybody who's not lifted your hand yet, say, pray for me, Pastor Dan. I'm not sure I'm ready. Anyone else? I'm just not sure I'm prepared. Pray for me, Pastor Dan. I'm not sure I'm prepared. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Anyone else? Thank you. I see your hand. You can put it right back down over here. Thank you. Anybody else? I'm not sure I'm prepared. I'm not sure I'm ready. Anyone else? You can lift it up and put it right back down. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? My friend, you need to be ready and you need to be prepared. In just a moment, we're going to stand to our feet. When we stand, we're all going to stay in an attitude of prayer. No one's going to be looking. But that is a time for you to get it settled, to know you're ready for Christ's return. If you're here today, we've got people waiting with a Bible in hand that are ready to show you from the Bible how you can be prepared and ready. You don't have to join this church. You don't have to even attend this church. But you're here today for a reason, you know? And you're here today, and we want to help you be prepared and know that you're ready. So if you're here today and you'd like to know for sure that you're prepared for the return of Christ, if you're a teenager, Pastor Rob, why don't you stand up? Come to Pastor Rob if you're a teenager, and he will help you. If you're here and you're an adult, I'll be right here. Pastor Rich, will you stand over here to my left? Please, will you come and let us take the Bible and show you how you can be prepared? We've got counseling rooms back here in the back, private, and we will have someone take the Bible and show you how you could know that you're prepared for the return of Christ. As soon as we stand, we want you to come. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning and your word. Help us, Lord, to rightly divide the word of God, lest we come up with the wrong answers. Lord, thank you that we can rightly divide. You've given us your word. And so, Father, help us, Lord, to understand these things. We love you. I pray for those who raise their hand. They're not sure that they're ready for your return, Jesus. Please help them to come and get that settled today so they can leave this building with peace. Peace, total peace. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.